I'm Mindy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Summer is the time many of us enjoy some much-needed R&R with our annual vacations. And today we discuss the psychology of vacations. For some, getting into vacation mode is easy. Others have a difficult time enjoying their time off. We'll talk about the mental and physical benefits of a good vacation and get some tips on how to unplug from the demands of your everyday life. And joining us is psychologist Michael Abbruzzese and psychiatrist Mark Whaley. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mindy. All right,
let's start with the mental benefits of a vacation seem like a no-brainer, but there are physical benefits too.
Yeah, research shows that. Vacation provide an opportunity to do something different and the brain to get into a different mode, one hopefully that is less stressful. One piece of research has shown that people who forego vacations, the research was for 5 years, had a much higher rate of heart attacks. Other health-related problems. You're doing your body well by taking a vacation and unplugging.
Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly know there's plenty of research that shows the physical effects stress has on our body. So right. I guess if you can reduce that stress.
Right. There's a lot of current research that indicates that having time at home for people is quite often, for dads especially, more stressful than being at the office because it's more unstructured, a lot more chaotic kind of stuff. Family life can be very messy and disorganized, and some people would prefer not to take a vacation because they'd rather be in a very predictable kind of environment, like where they work, the place of business. Even if it's somewhat stressful over there, they get used to it and it's manageable. But it's really important to understand that if you can't control your stress on a regular daily basis, then you have to find some way to physically stress yourself, which means to disconnect and lose that connection that you have to your place of business. And in America, I think we can all agree, most people identify themselves as to what they do for a living. You know, I'm a doctor, yeah. I'm a lawyer, I'm a carpenter. And that's the problem with, I think, a lot of people taking a vacation, because when they're on vacation, it's difficult for them to have, some people, hard for them to have an identity.
Interesting. Right. Yeah. The other thing that was interesting is it seems that taking a vacation may not make you as happy as anticipating that vacation.
Yeah, I found that interesting too. Most, and the research shows this, research in happiness, that's been something that psychologists have started to look at. And it turns out that savoring the vacations, the details before, actually turns out to be much more pleasurable than remembering afterwards. And even during. Because when you're on the vacation, you have the reality of the vacations. And some vacations can include a lot of stress. Witness the traffic around here, for instance.
I'm on vacation. I don't want to sit in this traffic.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. One of the problems of going on vacation is that getting to where you want to go is quite often very stressful. There's nothing really in vacationing that is easy for families. If you want to go on a family vacation, do you take an airplane, do you take a train, or do you drive? And all the places you want to go, most people want to go to them at the same time. If you take a vacation during one of the school breaks and you go to Disneyland or Disney World, it's extraordinarily stressful. And sometimes you have to stay up so late to get to some of the attractions. Some of the kids are just exhausted, and the parents wonder, why are we doing this kind of thing? So it's a big industry that has grown up to try and foster people enjoying themselves. But for most people, it almost feels like they have to force themselves to enjoy themselves and what they're doing. In reality, that's not much of a vacation at all. A vacation is something that tends to relax you.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
if you can't hit upon something that relaxes you, then you're not really going on vacation. You're just trading one stressful situation for another.
Right. Yeah. Going back to that anticipation, Elizabeth Dunn, Associate Professor of Psychology at the University of British Columbia and leading happiness researcher, says it's better to immerse yourself, reading novels and poetry, watching films and television programs, browsing fashion and design blogs that are either from or about the place you plan to visit, encourages you to not only learn about your destination, but to dream, providing some concrete details for your mind to latch onto.
Right.
And that, I think that's true. You're more likely, I think, to enjoy it while you're there if you know what you're getting into.
Sure.
Mentioning Disney World. I think to me that's like the last place I'd want to go on vacation.
But I think you can. What she's really talking about is an aspect of visualization. It's sort of like the connect the dots methods of visualization to people who can't sit still quietly. As you read some of these guidebooks, as you read some novels, there are wonderful novels written about famous cities you might want to go on vacation. That just helps you visualize. And really what you're doing is you're relaxing your brain. That's what vacation mm-hmm. is all about. It's relaxing your brain. And when people physically leave their place of business to go to a different physical location, that is a way of relaxing your brain through the modality of physicality or athleticism. It's a whole body kind of thing. But relaxation really is relaxing your brain. Anything that you could do to relax your mind and stop it from being so busy is really relaxing. And so that's a very good way of starting to do visual imagery of the things that you would like to do, love to do, plan to do, and that gets you in the relaxed mode.
Yeah, and another way of looking at it too is our default, the default mode of our brain is to be engaged in the world. That's what our brain is for, to help us survive the world. So the default mode is to be engaged in it, an active kind of seeking and interacting with the environment, and that's work. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to unplug. You really have to kind of unplug. That means not pursuing a different kind of engagement in an intense way while you're on vacation, but really taking a look at how you can unplug truly and have your brain be in a different state than it is most usually.
Well, you sent a great description of what happens to your brain on vacation. Yeah. Picture a sedan tearing down the Autobahn and its engine redlining. The driver slams the brakes. The car skids, spins, slams into guardrails, and finally stops.
Right.
That's your brain on vacation.
That's what happens when you take the vacation.
Well, hopefully not everyone's brain.
Right. But it's emphasized in our society with all the digital communications 24 hours of being on and connected.
Right, and it's very hard for people to disengage. It's gotten to the point that being able to relax is a learned skill.
Yeah.
You actually have to practice it, like you have to practice meditation or you have to practice hitting a golf ball the correct way. And now we have to teach people how to relax, whereas before they knew how to relax, and people seem to have lost that ability. And they are just so connected. Their brain is always busy 24/7. It doesn't help that some people have certain underlying conditions like anxiety, panic disorder, depression, ADHD, that contribute to their difficulty in disengaging, that keeps their mind very busy with ruminative thoughts or always casting about for things to do. But people really have to learn that it's okay to disengage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just thinking when you go on vacation and you have this week, I think for many of us, it's like it takes a couple, you know, you might be lying on the beach or, you know, doing whatever in the hammock with your book, but your body seems to be relaxing. But it takes a few days before you sort of feel
it really
like,
well,
OK, my mind is now into my vacation. And for many people, it could come close to the end of that vacation. You're just starting to relax and you got to go back to work.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
I've noticed that in the people that I've worked with, we've talked about vacations. We tend to take like a typical 1 week vacation. It takes about 6 days, 5 days for people to relax. If you have 1 day of travel, if you're traveling to an island or something like that. And you're quite right. In Europe, when people take a vacation, they talk about taking a month.
Yeah.
It's 4 weeks, 6 weeks off.
Right.
And to an American, that's like, oh my God, what do I do for 6 weeks if I'm going to be traveling someplace? Mm-hmm. But that really is because it takes that long for people to disengage.
Right. And that whole annual leave that other countries, we're pitiful. We do compared to other countries.
Yes,
I mean, they
are.
Get quite a bit of vacation and holidays.
Well, the point is that it's mandated in other countries.
Mandated,
it's mandated
right.
by law that they get specific number of paid days off. In the UK, it averages around 5 weeks. And France, I think, is a little bit more. All the developed countries are more. The U.S. is exceptional in being none.
And why do we think that is?
Well, I suppose you could go back to our historical roots, the Puritans, and find something there to be said. Also, you know, we're a competitive society and in many ways more competitive than others. So that keeps us with our noses at the grindstone in general.
Well, it really is a sociological phenomenon. I think Mark is right. Some people call it Puritanism. Years ago, it was really attributed to the Calvinistic kind of society, work, work, work. You've got to, you know, work really hard. And quite often the people who preached hard work were the folks who didn't work very much. You know, they were the captains of industry. Well, those guys don't work very hard, but they want to make sure that everyone else works. So there's a sociological myth that grows up around hard work being rewarded. And I think hard work is rewarded when you work for yourself. You work for your family. You work on your own farm. You find that very rewarding because there's a meaningfulness and there's an engagement. But when people stop working for themselves and started working for another company, most managers don't really do a great job of having people find that fulfillment. And it's such an easy thing to do. So I think, as Mark says, it's really very Calvinistic in the way that people look at the fact that I can't be doing nothing. And Europeans realize that relaxation is not doing nothing. Relaxation primes you for coming back and doing better at what you did. And many people who are famous at being good at what they've done, back in the industrial age, we had bankers and industrialists. They took many, many weeks or months of vacation to prime them for going back in there and slugging it out in the workplace. So vacations are really a way of making you better at what you do at your job, whether you work for someone else or work for yourself. I think the Europeans recognize this, and they always have, and American society, business society especially, is very slow to recognize it.
Yeah. There's only two countries that work longer than Americans, long in terms of work hours per year, and that's Japan and South Korea. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're always working.
Yeah, and so as most of us, some people get more than a week's vacation, but you generally don't see people taking, you know, 2 or 3 weeks in a row. You might take a week in the summer, and then maybe you take a week around the holiday. You know, they sort of split it up that way. Mm-hmm. Where I have to say, this has been many years. My husband and I took 3.5 weeks off. And it was the best vacation we ever had. And we actually went to Cozumel and watched all these people kind of come and go. So we felt like we were there for a lot longer because, you know, people were there for a long weekend or a week. And so the guests at the hotel kept changing. It was great. And you really were relaxed.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But it's interesting. Maybe this goes back to that visualization thing. How many people, when they come to the Cape, you know, they're driving here and they get to the bridge and this sort of mental thing happens to them. Yeah. It's like, I'm here. Or, you know, the ferries to the islands. I'm on the ferry.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's because of the perception that people have, the visualization. So once you get over the bridge or once you reach your destination, you've sort of primed yourself for a conditioned response to either become more stressed or more relaxed. So that's a very important part of what some other people call savoring or anticipation. So that's really a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, priming yourself like that is good.
Yeah.
Sure.
866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. How do you unplug on vacation? 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. More after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking about the psychology of vacations with psychologist Michael Abruzzese and psychiatrist Mark Whaley. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. If you have comments or questions, we'd love to know, how do you unplug on vacation? 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Okay, so then there are some folks who just can't pry themselves away from their jobs.
Right.
For, I guess, many reasons. You mentioned earlier, Mike, that maybe they're, you know, the structure of the job, but there's some just, I'm too busy. I can't leave my office.
Well, sometimes people are too busy. Sometimes people just feel guilty about being away because they think the job depends on them. And of course, the job really doesn't. Other times, as you said, people don't have a lot of money. And people do usually have vacation time built in, but most Americans don't take the vacation time. If they have a week, maybe they'll take a few days, and maybe they think they're being a good guy or a better employee. But some recent research indicated that for all the vacation time that people leave on the table, it amounts to over a million years vacation time is left on the table every year by all the Americans.
A million years?
The research from Bloomberg indicated that it was a million years worth of vacation.
Wow.
On that. And that's every year. They donate a million years of vacation annually. And one of the reasons that people think they do that is because it's going to make them more valuable to the company. But all the hours they donate, is, look at the research indicates that it just translates into a 1% increase in a raise. Mm-hmm. So the research indicates that that's not really valued by your employer. When in reality, you could be of much more value by taking your vacation time and coming back fresh and with a different perspective, ready to work harder.
Yeah. The other thing, I think, on an individual basis is some people are truly afraid of being bored and feel it as a toxic condition and want to avoid it. So they keep themselves engaged. Because that's their default mode. That's their identity, like you mentioned before. To not be engaged is a toxic state to them. At least that's their fear. Because it's like when you mentioned about the brain stopping after going 100 miles an hour. there is a withdrawal from that. For people to successfully take a holiday, they really do have to fight that withdrawal. Mm-hmm. As we said before, the withdrawal can last for several days or maybe even 5 or 6 days until the vacation is practically over. But there is a withdrawal state, and people need to face that. One piece of advice is to kind of make a sport of watching how your brain works, how it just bounces from one thing to the other. And think of it as a pinball machine going from one ping to the other. And hopefully, as in a pinball machine, it loses momentum and goes down the alley and then peace.
You're relaxed.
Right.
Barbara's giving us a call from East Ham. Hi, Barbara.
I'm calling in because 13 years ago, we found a very cheap little condo in Costa Rica. And we bought it when we didn't even have the money to buy it. And for 13 years, we have been going down there. Now, I'm fortunate enough to work for myself. Michael, I know you. I'm Barbara Brown McDonald. I'm a therapist.
Hi, Barbara.
And first, we went for 2 weeks. Then when we could afford a little bit more, we went for 3. And we are now, as I say, at 68. I'm never going to get to retire. So we retire for 5 weeks a year. And as soon as I get off that plane in Costa Rica, I'm there.
Good for you.
Yeah, money well spent, right, Barbara?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're having some phone difficulties there. So, Barbara, enjoy your time. She said she's going in January.
Yeah, good investment.
Yeah, for sure. 866.
But it also takes a lot of courage too to be able to take that much time off,
right?
Because some
yeah.
people get so very frightened about the idea of being unconnected, disconnected. What's going to happen to the house?
Right.
What's going to happen to my job? And all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of courage to take a regular. Proper vacation, as the Europeans would call it.
Yeah,
well, they call it a holiday,
Which
I think even gives a different connotation to the word vacation.
It is, isn't it?
It's a holiday.
Yeah. Yes, it's a holiday.
It is a holiday you have 5 weeks off, right? But 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. But Barbara, she said, works for herself, so she can, I guess, work that into her schedule where, you know, some of us, I said I'm going to take 5 weeks off. I don't know what would happen here. But that's the other thing, too. Your workplace isn't going to implode if you're not there.
Right.
And the fact that it can run in your absence doesn't mean that you're going to get a slip when you get back.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that, but it very well could mean that, because you'll have, you know, you don't have bosses who are warm and fuzzy types who believe that it's best to have rested employees. So if you're going to take 5 weeks off, what makes you think your boss is going to say, if you're not going to be here, I need someone who's going to be here.
Right.
Heck, I can't afford to have no employees here for a week, and you want to take 4 or 5 weeks? No, I don't think that's going to work.
Right. Yeah.
So you're really limited to whatever the policy is that the business has, because if you take something out of their policy, you could very well lose your job.
Yeah, I wasn't saying 5 weeks. I was saying if your regular week or two-week vacation, the office is still going to be there when you get back. You might have a little more work on your desk, but it'll still be there. Right?
Well, I think that's something people realize, too, when they get back. What the first thing that most people say is, I need a vacation from my vacation.
So
because
true.
I got this stack of stuff that no one else did it that's put on my desk and is waiting for me.
Yeah. So what about folks who can't afford a vacation, or, you know, they don't have any vacation time, you know, wherever they work, you know, in the service industry? We have a lot of people here in the service industry who, you know, if they can't take time off in the summer, that's, you know, money they're going to lose. They can maybe can't afford to do that.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of thing goes into a program we had earlier on retirement. You know, how do you plan for retirement? Where's your money going to come from? How are you going to be able to afford your lifestyle? People have to do this transition planning, because if you're going to be in an industry that is not very well funded, such as self-employment, but you know that vacations are important, how can you build in vacations that work for you? And a week's vacation, quite often for many people, that's not necessary. We've talked before about meditation, how the Dalai Lama still meditates every day. People need to take mini vacations in their mind and their relaxation as often as they can. That could be just as simple as walking out in nature. You know, and that can relax you, and that gives
you a
boost for the rest of the day. If you keep on doing that, then you have a pretty good balance in your life. One of the failings of American vacation beliefs is that you work 50 weeks out of the year to take 2 weeks off. Most people, they may not need those 2 weeks at the end of the year. They really needed 3 or 4 days 8 months before, or a couple of hours 2 months before. So you have to decide what kind of vacation or holiday time works for you and build that into your life. And you can do that on an ad hoc basis. Mm-hmm. And you're not looking at 2 or 3 weeks at a time. You're looking at a few minutes every day, and that still keeps you well-balanced, which is what a vacation is supposed to do.
Right. Yeah. And that's good advice for people here on the Cape year-round, because this is really a unique place and a unique challenge where many people have to work practically 7 days a week for 2 or 3 months, and then for 5 or 6 months have essentially no work to do. Right. That's quite a it's quite an on-off challenge to meet. So for the weeks of the summer, it makes sense to take little breaks of walking and nature and that sort of thing, because otherwise you're not going to get the time off. And then you have the challenge in the winter of having too much time on your hands.
Or you've got a lot of people, 2 and 3 jobs. Right. So they may be working 3 jobs in the summer and maybe 2 jobs in the winter.
Right.
But that's a great idea about the mini vacations. And I'd love to hear from listeners about what they do for that relaxation, those mini vacations. 866-999-4626, or our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. I tell you, when I get home and, you know, I'm major stress, whatever, I play word games. You know, my husband thinks I'm crazy, but it just it brings your mind to a different place, and it's very relaxing to me.
Yeah.
It's extremely relaxing. When I was at MIT, we had a number of people who went on. They were in the astronaut program years ago, and their biggest recreation was square dancing. And they had, like, I guess, A-level, B-level, C-plus, C-level square dancing, and they found that to be the most relaxing thing in the world because it was so complex. They had to focus on what the caller was saying.
Right.
They had no room in their brain to ruminate over what they were thinking about all day long, and they found that extremely relaxing. So word games, any kind of physicality of using your whole body in motion, that could be very, very relaxing for people. So people should think about doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, when you're solving a problem that's not the same as the work problems that you have to deal with every day in and day out, that puts your brain in a different state, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then there's the 3-day weekend, which can actually, the research shows, can be more relaxing than a whole week of vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the reasons that's thought of that, one of the reasons for that is for the 3-day weekend, people generally don't prepare for it like they do for a vacation. So they're not all stressed out beforehand. It's just another extra day that everybody else in the country usually is having at the same time. So they just kind of flow into it without a whole lot of disruption.
Mm-hmm. It's also important, if you're going to take mini vacations, you want to try and take them, for example, not on the weekends. If other people are taking vacation on the weekend, try and take a Tuesday and Wednesday off. Try and take some time in the middle of the week, because you'll find for many people, most of the stressful conditions are environmental, travel, finding a hotel room, more expensive rates on the weekends because they expect the vacationers to come, and they will try and it just gets too crowded. So try and go create your off season, whatever that's going to be, and you'll find more stress-free relaxation, I think.
All right. Melinda's giving us a call from New Bedford. Good morning, Melinda.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
So what I like to do, my family and I like to go to Vermont, and I actually teach at a family camp, but it's a vacation for all of us.
Oh.
And it gets us out of, you know, New Bedford. I also homeschool my kids, and we only have school 4 days a week. Friday's kind of flexible.
Oh.
And it makes a huge difference in our lifestyle.
Yeah, so Fridays, do you do something like field trips and things like that?
In the winters, we often go skiing, and in the summer, we'll go to the woods, we'll go to the beach, we'll do something different. Yeah.
Oh,
and because we homeschool, I never vacation on the weekends. We always travel when it's, you know, off-season.
Yeah, that's great. So, where in Vermont do you go, Melinda?
It's in Bristol. It's right outside of Bristol, Vermont. It's a family camp. So I teach art, which I love, and my kids and my husband, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah, that's really.
I don't have to cook or clean for a week.
That's good.
You know?
That's a vacation in itself.
Right.
It sounds like you've mastered the art of being more in control of your life.
We're trying.
Yeah, that's the whole.
We're always
that's
up
point.
For change.
Yeah. Right.
Melinda, thanks for the call.
It really sounds like a lifestyle design kind of thing that she's doing, which is, I think, the next step in people being able to take control of their life.
Yeah.
And, boy, how nice to be able to travel with your family that's not on a school vacation
Absolutely.
Week.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you hear stories of people do that, and they get a lot of flack from the school when you take your kids out of school for a week. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. All right, trying to fit a bit of work in your vacation. A lot of people that, you know, I'm just going to bring my computer. I'm only going to, you know, do this one little thing or that little thing.
That's really not very effective.
No, because you're not going to be able to relax.
It's not very effective, especially now in this day and age. There's some sociological research to indicate that the different generations have more difficulty connecting. Our parents apparently had no difficulty with working hard and taking their time off. And then the baby boomers had a little bit more difficulty because they were more connected. But when you get to the millennials, the so-called millennials, Generation Y, the folks who came of age around the year 2000, those folks seem to be the most connected. They have the hardest time. There's some research indicating that up to 40% of all workers who are millennials, they just cannot disconnect. They just can't. They can't take a break from checking something. And, of course, that works to perhaps to the business's advantage, but it doesn't work to your advantage or to your family's advantage.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's amazing.
Yeah, and just that the younger generation is so connected to their, you know, phones especially.
Right.
They really can't. I mean, I was hearing a story a couple weeks ago about, you know, some experiment where they tried to get the kids for just a 24-hour period to turn off their phones, and most of them, they couldn't do it. It was like a withdrawal thing for them that they just could not.
You don't see kids standing around daydreaming anymore. Mm-hmm. They're all got their nose in their device.
Yeah, that's part of it. We have an email here from Elizabeth in Vineyard Haven. She says, great topic on today's point. I find it difficult to relax and unwind while on vacation. I live my day-to-day life in stress mode, and it feels familiar and comfortable. Time off feels so different that I miss enjoyment it should provide. Any suggestions?
Well, that's a really, really good point that she brings up, because there are some people's lives who are so stressful that for them to try and de-stress, get out of that mode, and then get back into it is so enormously stressful that it's just easier to stay in that mode. But it really is true. The research indicates that the more you can relax, the more you can kind of take a mental break and disconnect from the things that are stressing you out, it makes you more effective at your job. And research from positive psychology indicates really something backwards than what is intuitive. It's counterintuitive, but the research indicates that if you are happy, then you become more effective and successful at your tasks. In America, again, we're going back to the Calvinistic kind of idea, is that the harder you work, the more you will accomplish, and then you will be happy. But the research indicates, no, it's not true. The happier you are, the more you will accomplish. So for the kind of stress that she's feeling, I don't know what kind of career that she's in, but it's better to try and take some aspects of meditation.
Right.
If you cannot really meditate, because some people, they just can't take the Western or the Eastern type of cognitive meditation, then try and do something called a Jacobsonian relaxation, which is more of muscle relaxation. You might try getting some massage. You might try, if there's something that is good for you, that is like maybe being in a bubble bath or reading, any kind of thing that tends to work for you in little doses is the way that you should start doing that. And what most people aren't aware of, as soon as you start to relax, you may have a flood of emotions. And
anxiety.
The flood of emotions, really. Sometimes it's anger. For men, I find it's mostly anger. The first time they relax, a lot of men get really angry, and they have no idea why they're angry. It's because most people, they keep a lid on their emotions. They try so hard to be focused on what they're doing, there's no room for their emotions. And when their emotions come out, at least with guys, it kind of like spurts out of them. It kind of like is kind of like an explosion. So you want to find a way to relax and not be upset if you're finding an experience of emotions. You start to cry, you start to feel angry, you start to feel anxious or panicky. That is part of your body adjusting to a new reality of being able to relax. So if you run into a jam, I think the best thing to do is to check in for one or two sessions with some kind of behavioral professional to make sure that everything is okay. But you may find an eruption of emotions that you didn't expect. And when people find that happens, they tend to stop relaxing because they think there's something wrong.
Yeah.
So they don't walk anymore. They don't run anymore. They don't swim anymore. Whoa, this is something. Something's going on. This can't be right. And they go back to falling into their old mode. So be aware of what's going on with you. And when you start to relax, if you're running into a problem, monitor it, and if it gets to be disruptive after two or three tries, then check in with someone to get some more professional assistance.
Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of specific advice, just following up on what you're saying, you want to start observing your brain. You do have that capacity. That's what separates humans from all the other animals. We have that capacity to observe what goes on in our minds and interpret it and talk to ourselves verbally about it. So if you could start to observe how it's so hard to disengage on a vacation or a timeout, just do that. Nothing more than that. That gets into meditation techniques and other things that go along with that. But you want to try to nurture your observing self, your observing mind and once you do that, you take your attention off the anxiety, the fears about not being engaged and not being productive or fighting off. Basically, it's fear that you're fighting off by over-engaging in the world.
Mm. Right. For some people, though, it's extremely difficult to do that. It takes a lot of practice before you are able to do that. And for some people, they find it just so frightening that they stop themselves. They can't do it. So you may need a coach to push you to get through it, like you have athletes have baseball coaches, hitting coaches. People may need a relaxation coach, and all that's fine. Mm-hmm. And there was some recent research from Timothy Wilson's research out about people who – he did some research about people who could try and introspect, as Mark was talking about. And that really is just the best thing to do to become self-aware. And that is really a value-added creative option that most people don't have. And Wilson's research indicated he took a look at people's ability to willfully relax and decenter, as Mark is talking about, and introspect. And he found – in all the conditions he had, 25% of women and 67% of men would rather shock themselves, give themselves a self-administered electric shock than be alone with their thoughts.
That's right. Yeah.
And
that's
I find that in my clinical work a lot. Very shocking.
Right.
I find that in my clinical work a lot, and I get a lot of people who say they're bored. This is boring. I don't want to do this anymore. And I really have to press them to stick to it. Once they get past that barrier, they find it profoundly helpful to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But without any coaching, you would rather hurt yourself than sit alone with your thoughts. And that's a striking finding. So that's why I'm saying, if you're finding it difficult to relax, you're not alone. Mm-hmm. You know, the majority of people
majority
have
people
difficulty.
Like that.
So
yeah,
get some help.
Just to provide some details of that study that you're talking about, that was done at University of Virginia, and the subjects were all ages, young people all the way up to
90, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what they were asked to do was just to be alone with their thoughts for 15 minutes. That was the whole task.
Yeah, in a room with no magazines.
In a room with nothing to distract them or engage them. Most people didn't like it, and they couldn't do it. So then they wondered, if they don't like it, how far are they going to go to stimulate themselves? So they provided them with a mechanism to give themselves an electric shock. And before they went into the 15-minute period of being alone, they got the shock, so they knew what it was. And they knew how noxious it was and how unpleasant it was. But even knowing that, the percentages that you just mentioned, 67% of men and 25% of women, still shock themselves just to stimulate themselves and get through that 15-minute period.
Now, there was one outlier in that group. I believe the data was that he had shocked himself about 191 times.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So there are some people who really go over the deep edge. You know, these people are not likely candidates for being able to relax themselves without some coaching skills because some people are need more coaching than others. So get coaching if you need it. It's not going to be hard, but it's very worthwhile.
And even going back to Elizabeth with, this not feeling guilty, I would think. You know, you go on vacation and you're not enjoying it, and then you're feeling bad because I should be enjoying this, and that whole stress cycle that you're in. What we were talking about earlier, just the practicing those daily kind of mini vacations, would that be a way to start, perhaps?
Yes, you really have to take little tiny baby steps. You have to do what we call incremental, instrumental kind of changes to change your behavior. And it just starts by just starting. So if you're, for example, the analogy I use, if you're on like a little motorboat, you can turn left, you can turn right, you can see that boat, you know, wiggle all you want. But if you're on an ocean liner, and our lives are more like ocean liners, and you want to make a course correction, you know, the captain turns that boat left and you can't tell that boat is turning, turns it right. You can't tell until you look at the fantail, you're looking at the wake and you say, I guess we've turned. So you have to just make these changes with the expectation that you will notice the changes after it happens.
Right.
Because if you're introspecting, if you're observing yourself, you're really not going to notice the changes until after they have really taken place. And you're just going to have to, you know, keep on going, much like a pilot that flies on automatic instruments. When he can't see what's going on, he has instruments. He looks at his instruments. He gets his feedback. And that's how the plane keeps on going.
866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. We're talking about the psychology of vacations. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point, and we're talking about the psychology of vacations with psychiatrist Mark Whaley and psychologist Michael Abbruzzese. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Well, our own Dan Tridle just came back from vacation, and Dan sent a note in here. He says, I recently took a Cape Cod and Islands vacation doing what the tourists do, biking, ferries to the islands, beaches, ice cream shops, fun. We're glad you enjoyed your vacation, Dan, because Dan knows how to relax.
That probably explains why you see him in there twitching right now.
Yeah, because he misses all that.
He misses the vacation, yeah. Yes.
What about the expectations? You know, you go on vacation and, you know, you want it to be good, and you're thinking, you know, I'm going to have all this fun, and maybe you don't. And maybe it was a horrible experience. And then you feel bad. You've wasted your
whole
week.
Right. We talked about this when we talked about the holiday blues. You know, Christmas letdown, holiday letdown. We have these expectations around the holidays, and that's really what a vacation is. It's really a holiday, something good that we're trying to do for ourselves. Yeah. And I think most dads know that a vacation is really a money pit that you keep on throwing money into something. You know, and maybe moms know it as being so stressful that they don't see it as a vacation. They see it as like an extra job they have, corralling the family, corralling the kids. So that's a really important point, because many people have the expectation this is going to be wonderful. It's going to be stress-free. It's just going to be like you see it in the movies or on television. And in reality, everyone else is out there doing the same kind of thing. You're all crashing into each other because it's so crowded. So we have an unrealistic expectation, and then we make it worse by feeling bad about how bad we feel about the vacation. These are all very normal kind of emotions, but without the expectation that they may occur, we're going to make ourselves feel very bad, and you can become depressed in as little as 2 weeks on something like that. You can certainly make yourself prey to anxiety and panic attacks. So you have to prepare yourself for a vacation, and the preparation is different whether you go by yourself or with the family, and where you go and how the environment is going to be interacting with you.
Right. Also, I think it presents a challenge to the year-rounders on the Cape because we see the people coming in and they've built up their expectations for a good vacation so that when they can't find something and they drive in such an annoying way, frankly, they get angry. And we see it. We're subject to it. Certainly the people in the retail business get that all the time.
Right. Also, when people come to the Cape, there's a finite thing that they can expect to do. And you get a decent rainstorm,
right,
and that really crushes the plans they have, because most people have plans for the next day or a couple of days
outside,
and you can't go. And if you have rain 2 or 3 days in a week, you get some very disappointed and unhappy people, and they get very cranky. You know,
exactly.
Bad weather tends to make people cranky anyway, especially on your vacation that you've been looking forward to.
They're spending all this money on.
And they spent all this money.
Right. Yeah.
And there's really nothing that the innkeeper can do, nothing the shopkeepers can do. It's just the environment is just not cooperating.
Yeah, that goes back to being the happy people. The happy people find something to do and they're happy.
That's right. And again, being happy makes you more successful at what you do. You can't count on a vacation to make you happy. You have to count on making yourself happy to inform anything you do, even taking a vacation.
Right. Yeah. Ed is giving us a call from Harwich. Hi, Ed.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to get a little feedback on one thing. I really take vacations because reentry is so difficult that I'd rather not take a vacation.
Yeah.
Because it's away for 2 weeks and come back and try to get back into the workforce. I'm a contractor, and it's so hard to get my head wrapped around and getting back into it. It takes like 3 weeks to get back into that mode that it's easier just not to do a vacation.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people who share Ed's feeling.
Right, especially on the Cape, we have a lot of contractors. We have a lot of seasonal contractors, landscapers, and everyone is trying to get the same dollar. We have too few dollars and too many professional people who are skilled at what they do trying to get it. It's extremely stressful, and if you are going to take a vacation, then someone else is going to grab the job and you're not going to get that. So you might try thinking about what I referred to before being a lifestyle design. If you can get by with fewer days working, you know, 4.5 days working instead of 5, or 6.5 days working instead of 6. Find the kind of lifestyle that works for you, and you can build in many, many holidays or many stress relief breaks, whether it's taking, really just taking lunch hour when you never take a lunch hour before, or being able to take as little as 10 minutes just to walk around your block, walk around your job site, and just to try and interact with nature, just being around trees and taking a couple of deep breaths. In fact, what many people don't realize is just by taking a breath for about 4 or 5 seconds, you really increase the serotonin in your brain. You can really do some relaxation. So, for example, just taking a breath in doesn't have to be a deep breath. And when you get to the top of your breath, hold it for the count of 4. I don't care how fast you count or how slow you count. Then exhale. And when you finish exhaling, count to 4 again. If you do that twice, then you're going to find that by the third time you do that, you're going to be a bit more relaxed. Your lung capacity is increased. You're going to be a little bit less stressed. And then you continue to breathe normally and go back about your day. That will take less than a minute to do that. And that makes huge dividends. So I would recommend for everyone, they try and take these little tiny breaks. It could take just like a minute and do it like once every hour or just once whenever you remember. And it's going to really improve the quality of your performance and the quality of your life during that day.
Yeah. I have a little bit different take on that, that I think should be pointed out. I think Ed should be congratulated on being able to successfully take a vacation such that it's hard for him to get back and re-enter. In other words, he has really been in a different state than he was before. And it's hard. I think he needs to enjoy the fact that it's hard to get back because he has been really unplugged.
Ed, thanks for the call. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. I've got an email here that says, I want to affirm what I heard Dr. Mike say. Whenever I'm convinced I'm just too busy to do my yoga or meditation or take a walk or swim or get a massage, I just recall that doing one of those relaxing things will make all the other stuff I'm so busy with go so much better, and I'll do a much better job at them.
That's true. And along with that, many people know that they should be taking a break. They know they should take a lunch break. They know they should do this, that, or the other, because people have been reading it and writing about it and talking about it for, you know, decades now. And people have the thought in their head. They simply don't act on it. Mm-hmm. So perhaps what we should consider doing is when we have a thought like, you know, I need to take a break, and I'll take a break in 5 minutes, just take a little bit of a break right then and there.
That's right.
Try and be aware. We talk in the show all the time about being aware of your own mind and being able to introspect and start out by just taking tiny steps. That's a good way to start out. Take a little break when you can and how you can, and then go on from there.
Don't procrastinate it,
basically.
Right. Yes. What about vacation styles? You know, what one person would find relaxing, another person would find horrible. Like, you know, we'll go back to Disney World. You know, there's people that they go every year. They love it. To me, that would be the worst vacation. I would hate it.
Well, there's some people go on a vacation like Disney World, and they absolutely have to go to every single attraction on their list.
Right. Right? Yeah. Right.
And other people, of course, they don't care if they go to every attraction or just a couple attractions. And sometimes both of those people are within the same family. So which creates a whole lot of stress about, can we just relax? I want to watch television or something. And, no, we have to go. We can't waste this beautiful day. Mm-hmm. And some philosophers really, when they had wonderful days, they felt obligated, even back in the 1800s, to go out and enjoy the beautiful day, because beautiful days were few and far between, you know, up in Norway or wherever in Britain, wherever they were riding. So we've always had people who felt guilty about enjoying themselves. But it's okay to enjoy yourselves. It's okay to be happy. We have to get over the fact that it's not okay to do that. It really is.
And it can be reflected in different styles. One thing that's been described is three different vacation styles. One is the Puritan vacation style. These are the people that use their vacations to accomplish something and feel good about what they've accomplished. And they've done it in a cheap way, inexpensive way, so that the more miles they jogged, the more museums they've been at, the less they've spent on meals. These are the people that would camp, for instance, rather than do the hotels. And that's how they enjoy. That's their goal. Their goal is to self-improvement. It's a Puritan kind of way of living. The other that's been mentioned has been termed a paranoid type of vacation. And that's the individual that can't stand to waste precious moments of recreation so that everything is scheduled that is fun. We see these people coming over the bridge and their cars are laden with all sorts of recreational toys, and they all have to be used, and they have to be used on schedule, and everybody in the family has to follow the schedule. It's usually, you know, the male that is managing things, just like he manages things at work, but now he's managing his family. And then thirdly, there's the decadent style. This style is one where the whole purpose of the vacation is to do nothing, go nowhere, and not have anywhere to be, and not have anything to do. Just exist. Those are the people that are probably more creative, because doing nothing and being nowhere and letting your mind wander, that feeds creativity.
It does, but but look at even the terminology that is used: decadent,
right.
You know, Puritan. Well, we have a pretty favorable view of Puritan being hardworking, honest, God-fearing, good people.
Right.
As opposed to decadent people or paranoid people.
Yep.
Well, who wants to be a paranoid vacation or a decadent vacation? I don't have much of a choice. I guess I better choose Puritan vacation. So I think we have to be very careful with the terminology that we use, because that programs people for a certain expectation set, and you don't want to have a vacation that goes against your expectation set. If I expect to have a certain kind of vacation, I can't find myself in the middle of a different vacation, because that will create so much stress and anxiety, I won't know what to do with it, and I will not be a happy camper.
Yeah. I was wondering, when you were describing those different vacation styles, where the person who goes on vacation with nothing, that every day we'll figure out what we're, you know, kind of go with the flow. Today we'll wake up and we'll figure out what we're going to do.
Right.
What would that be? Yeah, what category would that be?
Decadent.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. I'll take decadent.
That would be decadent. Decadent is when you go to the fancy places in Hawaii or something, and you see people sitting on the beach with beverages, and they have people bringing them towel. I guess that's the decadent thing, right? Which some people would just say is relaxation.
What about the staycation, stay-at-home vacation, where you're doing all the jobs around the house?
For many people, that is not a vacation at all. They're just simply getting caught up with their laundry, or they're hiring someone to power wash the deck, or they're putting a new kitchen or something like that. And they're trying to squeeze in some of the things they want to do on the time they have off from work, and they just really have another part-time job. That's all it is. So I don't see that being very much a vacation. There are some people who work with their hands, and it is a vacation. They build their own cabinetry, and that's a vacation because they haven't had time to do something for themselves. We all know the story that was told about the cobbler's children who don't have the right shoes, and the people who are the carpenters that don't have the cabinets made in their own home, but they're servicing everybody else. And I think people in the service industry and the healthcare industry very much are caregivers, always taking care of others. They really have to think about taking care of themselves. When you're in the airplane, one of the rules that they give you in the opening lines from the attendant is that in the case of any problem, you will find the oxygen mask is dropping from the ceiling. Put the mask over your own face first, and then help the person or child next to you.
Right.
That's really what you have to do, and we talk about that on this show a lot. You have to help your own self first, and then you can help others, but you have to help your own self first.
Yeah, and some people are really driven, but some people are driven to help themselves, and they see helping themselves by getting the household chores caught up. And that's the way they look at it.
Well, that's certainly de-stressing, because if you have your laundry piled up, you have to do this, you have that. It's very gratifying. And some people are so full of stress and anxiety that simply getting a stack of papers off their desk is helpful. Or I think what we call the batch basis versus the flow basis. It's better to do things on a flow basis. Something comes in like water flowing, like a water flowing over the waterfall. That's the best way to accomplish things. Many people have been taught or learned to do things in a batch basis. It means you get this huge amount of activity, and then you got to just plug away till you get it done, when in reality, it would have been less stressful to do it as the stuff was coming in.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Psychiatrist Mark Whaley, psychologist Michael Abruzzese joins us the third Wednesday of every month. We'll see you next month.
Thank you very much.
I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince with assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of WCAI, the local NPR station for the Cape, the Coast, and the Islands.